Just let us take it back. No, this is not. your mind. You have given yourself to me, even if you now change your mind.
So,
initiation means a change. The process of devotional service consists of so many elements, and all of them are important. Because one cannot just chant by having a staff full 24 hours a day. Not possible. We don't have that kind of peace of mind. Our minds are chanchalam yama krishna, our minds are restful. Therefore, the acharyas have understood that because we are very much preoccupied on the sensual platform, therefore we simply engage the senses in the service of Krishna. If we look in the Nectar of Devotion, there is a lengthy description of the 64 limbs of bhakti, and they are basically engaging the various senses in the service of Krishna. The eyes, the nose, the tongue, all our working senses, arms and legs, they're all meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So, this is required. It is the chanting of Hare Krishna, of the Hare Krishna mantra, that gives us the determination to maintain all the spiritual standards. And it's maintaining the spiritual standards that will give us the inspiration to chant Hare Krishna. If we don't maintain spiritual standards, then after some time our taste in chanting will go down. Then it will become day by day a greater and greater austerity. Sometimes I give the example, just as we put a pole in the sand, then we have to anchor it properly. Sometimes they put some lines on different sides just to make sure that the pole doesn't fall over. So in the same way, these vows, they need support. We have to understand that it's not enough to just try and follow them on the strength of determination. I will do it, I shall do it, I must do it. That runs out of steam after a while. Therefore, what we require is supportive activities. We need to regularly associate with devotees. We need to regularly hear about Krishna. We need to do some service for Krishna. Always keep that mood of voluntarily doing some service, even if you're so busy. The temple, undoubtedly, is the most special place in the entire world. Where do we find such places like temples? Of course, once you've been around in the temple, then you know the inside story, the politics and this and that. But we don't care about such things because Krishna is here. And Krishna, here, we always have that opportunity to get that special mercy. So it's important to keep that connection somehow or other, even though we may also practice Krishna consciousness at home. But still, we should keep our connection to the temple. Because all these things will give us strength and support, and we'll need it. We'll need it. Because determination comes from knowledge. We come to Krishna consciousness and we become convinced by this transcendental knowledge. We realize, yes, it makes sense. I'm not the body. I'm eternal spirit soul. Yes, it makes sense that if Krishna is the origin of everything that is existing, it makes sense that we are his eternal servant. It makes sense. So gradually, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness makes sense. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive. It makes sense that God is all-attractive. Why would he be anything else? It's logical that everything in him is perfect and is attractive. So we understand all these things, and therefore we become convinced by the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We hear the preaching of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. We read the books and we are saying, yes, I'm going to commit my life to it. There is some taste also. Some taste we have in service. And there is austerity also. Restrictions and so on. Duties. All difficult. So, tapu diyam putrapi yena sattvam sujetyasvam brahmasukhyam tanantam. That there is austerity as part of spiritual life. Only in the most advanced stages of spiritual life is it like we are beginning to become inspired by taste. They say, sometimes the analogy is given, that up to the stage of nista, spiritual life is going uphill. First there is some strata, alright, I'm going to do it, it's uphill. Then there is, we say, yes, I'm going to take shelter of the devotees, alright, the devotees now, uphill. And bhajana kriya, we become fixed in the regular practice of chanting and temple worship, uphill. It's a struggle. Then anarjana vritti, purification is going on, uphill. It's a struggle. We feel the burden. But it says at nista, one comes on top of the hill. And then from that point on, from ruchi, it just goes, it slopes down gently. So it's easy. Then it becomes very easy. Ruchi, taste in Krishna consciousness. Ashakti, attachment to Krishna. Then it becomes very easy. Bhava, ecstasy. Yes, praying, it's like you're rolling down the hill. You don't even know how you're going down. You're automatically going along the path. Okay. So these things we can keep in mind. Because sometimes we may experience, it's so austere, so much struggle. But it's just, we have to just get to the top of the hill, and then it gets easier and easier. So in the beginning, we operate on knowledge. And later, we operate more, the motivating factor becomes taste. Eagerness to serve Krishna, and that goes deeper and deeper. So, in this way, we can feel encouraged. Even if we feel a struggle now, then we should look at the long term. In the long term, we can feel encouraged. The one thing that can speed up or slow down our progress is making offenses. I'm not trying to, in this lecture, emphasize that we should always think, oh God, I hope I'm not making an offense, and be in anxiety about offenses, offense, offense, offense. But these offenses are like old habits. To blaspheme the devotees, it's a habit. Not in particularly devotees, just in general. We're in the habit of finding fault in people. There was a little book called The 1 Minute Manager. And this manager, whatever it was, he had the habit of, instead like other managers, it said most managers spend their time trying to catch somebody doing something wrong. And then they said, you did it wrong again. How many times do I have to tell you? This manager was different. This manager, he would try to catch people do something right. It wasn't easy,
But anyway, he was trying and trying and trying. Yes, Pastor, oh, you did that so well. You did it really well.
So this is Vaishnava.
Vaishnava is always finding some good quality. Not artificially, but actually looking for it and then finding it. Finding it.
Not that we say to a new person, oh, you are a Mahabhagavat, that's artificial.
But we find some good quality. So if we make that our habit, that would be nice.
Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal or independent in the name of Lord Vishnu.
Lord Brahma was asked by Hiranyakasipu to give the benediction of immortality. And he said, I cannot give. I cannot give what I don't have. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they can award all kinds of benedictions, but no eternal benedictions. Therefore, one should not think that the name of Vishnu and the name of Brahma and Shiva are the same. Through the name of Lord Vishnu, one can achieve liberation, eternal destination. Of course, through the name of Krishna, one can achieve love of God. So we should understand.
Third offense, to disobey the order of the spiritual master.
Yes, it's not so simple. One should therefore be honest with the spiritual master. This takes honesty. Because it means that when we become weak, and when we are not able to follow an instruction or an order, then we should communicate. Not that when the spiritual master comes, we smile. And say, how are you?
Oh, I'm so fine.
And then 1 month later, a devotee disappears. You know, it's like, what happened?
Yeah. Didn't reveal the heart. So one must trust the spiritual master. That he is truly our friend. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who is not exactly an orthodox disciple, because since a long, long time he hasn't really followed so nicely, but he was one of the earliest devotees named Garbhamuni. And one year Garbhamuni was wearing blue jeans, a black t-shirt and a tiger skin vest, and he stood on the stage during Prabhupada's disappearance festival, and he said, I think there are a few people out there who would rather not see me on stage today, but I'm not going away, and I'll tell you why. It is said, it's because of a letter that Prabhupada wrote to me. He said, in that letter, Prabhupada wrote three words, and these three words I will never forget. Your ever well wisher. He got the point across quite well. It's a fact that we must see our spiritual master as our ever well wisher. And no matter what, no matter how fallen we are, he's not going to reject us. He will just try and help and say, okay, let's deal with it. Let's pick up the pieces and put it back together and build it back up and start again. Because nothing has changed. You're still the eternal servant of Krishna. And it's still time to go back to Godhead, because these material bodies, they are no good. So, fourth offense is to blaspheme Vedic literature, so literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. There are many, many Vedic literatures. Some are Traigunya, some are within the three modes of material nature, some are transcendental. Like, for example, we have the Upavedas, the Jyotishastra, astrology, Vastu, and all these kind of things. They are material.
But we respect even such scriptures because they are Vedic and it's good, but not essential. What is essential are transcendental scriptures. Then amongst them there's also a hierarchy. For example, the Upanishads are giving us knowledge about Brahman, but that is not complete. Therefore, we are particularly interested in those scriptures that deal with bhakti. And I'm so happy that the books are here in this sacrifice. I really want to compliment Kangishwar for that. Because that's what Srila Prabhupada used to do. He wanted that. And most sacrifices nowadays, it's forgotten. Sometimes I just symbolically invoke them. I put some mental readers there of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar, Devotion, Chaitanya, Charitamrita, just to have these four readers present, because these four books especially are our worshipful books, both books. And we should daily read these books. I have a simple analogy, which is the rice, dal, sabji, chapati analogy. So, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, rice, dal, sabji. That's four things. Other books, chutney. Yeah? I know there are lots of other books around these days, it's chutney. So if you eat only chutney, that won't work, I can guarantee you, for a while. But if you do that for long, you won't last. So we must keep the connection with the essential books and see that they're not the same. Prabhupada's books, these four books, especially. I'm reading one of the small ones. That's before initiation. After initiation, no. I'm reading in the four major books every day without fail, somehow or another. Of course, extenuating circumstances are understood. But we are having standards. If due to circumstances we cannot complete the standards, then we are not meant to hit ourselves over the head with a stick and punish ourselves. No, we are just meant to remember that now, due to circumstances, I've lowered the standards, not 16 rounds of four eight principles, but for example, rising early or reading these things. But then, we should know. No, I should as soon as possible return to this. That's the way to do this. That's one of the most important. Fifth offense is I'm going this slow. Is consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. We should have full faith. It works. We should not think it works for some and it won't work for me. And say it's not working. It is working. But sometimes you don't notice it. Something like growing old. You don't notice it. And then sometimes you suddenly do. You know what I mean? You look in the mirror and say, my God, I never had that. And in the same way, you know, in spiritual life also, that we are chanting for so long and it's that I don't feel any change. But then suddenly, so well, I guess I'm changing a little after all, actually. It works. So there's no doubt. It is so powerful. It is amazingly powerful. And over the times, the effect is enormous. Therefore, never feel discouraged. So this fifth offense, instead of the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination, is something that is related to discouragement. You think, oh, it will never work. It will work. Absolutely. So we should always again and again try again and again. Renew our input again and again. Sixth offense gives some interpretation of the holy name. Well, Srila Prabhupada is one who spelled it out. Right? That's our good fortune. Therefore, let's keep regular connection with his books, and our interpretation of the holy name will be clear. Because any possible misconception,
Prabhupada knocks it on the head very expertly. The meaning is simple of the holy name. We don't have to look for big, complicated symbolic meanings. Lord Chaitanya, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vallabharacharya wanted to give an explanation on the holy name. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't understand any meanings of the holy name. I only know that Krishna is Yasoda Nandan or Nanda Nandan, the son of Mother Yasoda, the son of Nanda Maharaj.
Is that right?
That's all. That's all I know. It's not complicated. Seventh offense, to commit sinful activities of the holy, on the holy name, on the strength of the holy name. This offense means it comes in when we think I've done so much service, the mercy is mine, it's become my right, and therefore even if I don't follow, I'm sure I'll still get it. But we should not take it for granted. We should understand that we have to each time again and again conquer Krishna. By purity. We can never rest on our laurels in spiritual life and think, now it's done. No, we have to again and again try. Every day we have to try and please Krishna. So one should. Purity is always required. One senior devotee came to me once and said, you know, on the birthday of my wife, we drank a bottle of wine. He said, and I didn't feel any less Krishna conscious over it. My answer was, because you were drunk. In other words, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. Whatever you feel, you feel. But obviously, if we do such things, we set ourselves back. Yeah. And it can get progressively worse. It starts with a little slackness and then from one thing comes another. Therefore, one has to have a certain discipline in one's life. And discipline is very much helped, self-discipline is helped by regulation. If we just fix ourselves in a regulated schedule, well, then that automatically gives us a certain strength. Then you don't have to tell yourself, now, I have to get up, but I'm so tired. No, I get up every day at the same time, finished. Right? Then all you have to worry about is to get in bed early enough to make it. So like this, regulation will help us, strengthen us in our self-discipline. Eighth offense, consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities of the Vedas, activities of the Vedas as fruit activities of Kamakama. It's quite a mouthful, this eighth offense. And what does it really mean? Well, it can be interpreted in various ways. One way, that Kamakama activities are those activities that fix material problems. So you do a Kama Kanda ritual and your material problems will be increased. And you may chant Hare Krishna every day, 16 rounds or more. And you can chant. But it doesn't necessarily solve the material problems. Sure, you don't want to take another mantra. So in that way, material problems, they may come, they may not come. And yes, Krishna may desire to take some material problems away, and Krishna may sometimes, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the material difficulties that a devotee gets are not only due to the karmic reactions that are stored within the heart, the aparashu karma. But sometimes Krishna even adds a little problem just for the sake of purification. Other times he just takes problems away also. That we should understand. So, Krishna is in control. We're getting diminished reactions of our karma. It's not that after this sacrifice you will be karma free. And it's also not that I have to take all the karma. It's not like that. But some karma maybe I might have to take. But we pray to Lord Chaitanya. Alone, what can I do? Nothing. So, by the mercy of the Lord, that Lord Chaitanya will somehow or other make the arrangements to deal with our karma. But we are getting purified from obstructing karma today. Significant. Significant. Ninth offense, preach to the faithless. Yes, of course, we are Lord Chaitanya's mercy movement, so we'll preach to anyone, but no intimate subject matters. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, chant, dance and be happy, or the Bhagavad Gita, you're not this body, you're eternal spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna. That's the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. And that's basically the philosophy, and more intimate pastimes of Krishna. We save them for closed meetings with the devotees. Tenth offense is thank you. In the brain is in a sequence to maintain material attachments. Okay, I compare that to maintaining pets. Yeah. I mean, if you have pets, if you feed them, they become big and fat. You know, so here's my material diet. Oh, you feed it and feed it and feed it, and in the end, it grows into a monster. Yeah. So one should not feed the material desire. That's what it means. To maintain material desires it's not referring that we should not have them, because that we cannot change. We cannot just decide from today on I will have no more material desires. If it was that easy. It's not going to be that easy. But so we know we're going to have to fight a little bit with them, because when we don't feed them to us, then they're going to growl at us.
Feed him!
No. 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 So one has to say no, and therefore stay in the association of others who are also doing that. That's important. Because if we have to fight material desires alone, then it's difficult. See, we never know what's going to happen. We're young, we're in the temple, we take initiation, everything is like 10 years down the line, we may be living way out somewhere, 40 kilometers away from the temple, working in a night shift, and trying to maintain a family, and suddenly it becomes tough. Yeah? And no more association, and everything out the window, and those rounds, just no time, too busy. And everything is all right with the ladies until the first baby is born, and then suddenly, life changes, totally changes, and 24 hours on call, and chanting, let's see. Some do it easy, but many slip. So, if we... Now that we are in a strong position, we should build up the good habits. That will give us a handle for when we come in a weak position. In old days also, you don't know, we may be so determined, and then suddenly we may become very ill, and then everything is so difficult. So difficult. Changes completely. Even the strongest person can become so weakened by disease. Therefore, if you build strong habits, that will give us the strength. Okay, these were the 10 offenses, and with that, I've sort of covered the introduction. All I want to do now is blessings. May all the Vaishnavas bless you here today. Vaishnavas can bless because they've done service for Krishna. So they have some credit with Krishna. So use your credit with Krishna and just ask Krishna to please shower these devotees with blessings so that they will have special strength to live up to these vows. And not only live up to them, but make them into something beautiful. Sometimes I use the story of Krishna planting pearls. And Krishna planted pearls and watered them with milk. And Anubhav asked, Krishna, what are you doing? I'm growing pearls. Krishna, pearls don't grow. But sure enough, after a short time, bushes came. And many pearls were growing. Krishna could see they grow well. So the vows of initiation are like that. We plant them like pearls and then water them with devotional service. And then they can produce so many beautiful pearls. So it should be like that. It should not be the four regulative principles like the walls of a jail, the four walls, and the bars of the Mahamantra. That's my spiritual life. It should not be like that. It should be the pearls that are planted and come, more and more pearls. It's a very auspicious time. One time in the Jhumna it said that the jiva, since the fall of the spiritual world, has been going down and down and down. And then when you come into contact with spiritual life, then gradually the course changes. And then from initiation, it's just going up and up and up. And the whole course makes like a big smile. So it's a festive occasion. It's a happy occasion. This initiation. So with that, I'll end. Come as far as we're going to do next. They're going to take their vows, actually. Okay. And you are the first. You have to come and offer basically.
No gambling, no illicit sex.
Okay, very good. And what is the minimum number of rounds that you promise to chant every day?
16 rounds.
Yes, thank you very much. So I thought of the name of one of the acharyas, something like that. So from this day on, your name will be Gaurisura Das. So may you always be youthful. father and a son together, that is not auspicious. They have to come this side of the feet. Just as Krishna is expanding himself into so many forms, Radharani is also expanding herself in many forms. When Krishna, the origin of all the forms of Krishna is Mahavishnu, and the origin of Radharani's expansions is the name I will give you now. And it is Mahalakshmi Devi Dasi.